Church, say amen.
Amen.
Keep your songbooks in hand. We're not going to sing this song because we've already presented this before the Lord, so there's not a need to present it again. But turn your songbooks to selection 450. We just presented this a few moments ago, and I tell you, this is not a coincidence. I did not call our dear brother and say, leave this song or that song, but I found the words obviously to be very inspirational and to be very much in accordance with this morning's lesson, which the title is The Soul's Desire or The Spirit's Desire. So open your songbooks to 450 and also turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 26 and wait for me there. In the songbook, Alone at Eve, verse number 3 reads as follows. It says, closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meet him face to face, trusting him as my all wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me on to the Spirit's home. Amen?
Amen.
So this morning, the lesson is entitled, The Spirit's Desire. What does the Spirit desire to be? Think about that. Like a fish or an aquatic animal that comes out of its natural place where it is designed to dwell. When that fish comes out of the water, what happens? They begin to lose its ability to live, and it begins to flop, right? All over the place, because it's losing its proverbial oxygen, which is the water. Because the fish is naturally designed to dwell in the water, not outside the water. Well, consider this in principle. Where is the Spirit naturally designed to dwell? In the presence of God. And outside of the presence of God, there is no salvation, just as much as there is no life for that fish outside of water. Does that make sense? Go with me. We're in Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to start reading the verse number 1. We're going to go through verse 9, and we're going to take a look at a number of scriptures throughout this morning's presentation here in order to have you to understand that it is extremely important to desire home for your spirit. In Isaiah chapter 26, it says the following. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keep the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth low. He layeth it in low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to dust. Verse number 6. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor in the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Look at verse 8. It says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Consider this. The soul is designed to dwell with God. The soul, the spirit that he gave us. Flip over to Acts chapter 2. The spirit that he gave us is that much crucial for us to understand. By him giving us his spirit, he gave us a peace of him. And in giving us a piece of him, guess where that piece wants to go back to? Just like that fish that's flopping on the sand that wants to get back to water, that spirit wants to go back to God. And we want to make sure that we are obedient to Almighty in order that we can ensure that the spirit he gave us will go back to him where it is naturally designed to be. And that is where we should want to be. In Acts chapter 2, you all are familiar with it. What does this say? In Acts chapter 2, Brother Frank, are you okay to read? Or
yeah,
got a little cough
okay.
There?
I'm good.
It's all right. So in Acts chapter 2, go ahead and read. Start at verse number 38.
Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
You are going to receive a gift. You are going to receive a gift that no one else can give you. When your birthday comes, I can come and give you any kind of gift that I go and purchase, or that I go and make, or that I present to you. You can't get the Holy Spirit from anyone else other than God. You understand that? And in getting the Holy Spirit from God through baptism for the remission of your sins, he has given you a piece of him. So it is important for us to understand that if he's giving us a piece of him, eventually he's going to want that back. Some might say, well, God's an Indian giver then. Well, maybe even an Indian giver may not be so bad. Even though that coin term is not necessarily a respectable term, although that's something that we have found ourselves saying throughout decades. But please understand, from the principle of that statement, the Lord God is to be given back what he gives us. Remember, the Bible teaches us about the talents and about the coins, right? That he went to one servant and gave one servant one. And he went to another servant and gave another servant five. And he went to another servant and gave another servant 10, right? And the ones that had the 5 and the 10, then went and doubled theirs, right? But the one who had the 1 went and dug up a hole and buried his, right? And the one who buried his says, "I know my master is a shrewd master. I know he's going to come and take basically the fruits of my labor. So I'm not going to do anything with it." So not only did he take it, he took him. Consider this. The spirit that God has given us through baptism is designed to go back to the Lord. And we want to make sure that in our obedience, we are putting that spirit in the best position to be back where he is designed to be. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4 obviously teaches us that there is one spirit. And so that spirit that God has given us, once again, we want to make sure that it is going to be where the Spirit desires to be. If we wake up every morning and we go through each and every day with the soul's desire to please God, that's why I opened up class the way I did, then we should always seek to know what God's Word says and how it is going to apply to us each and every day, at each and every moment, so that we are ensuring that we are in alignment with God's Word, because we know not when the Master comes, right? The Bible teaches us that. We don't know when we're going to go as individuals. The Bible teaches us that. We also know that our souls are going to be judged according to what his word says. The Bible teaches us that. And so when we know that we are in alignment with God, then we know where the spirit can end up. All right? So we should long to be with Almighty. We should always desire to be in his presence and to be pleasing unto him. But watch this. Flip your Bibles over to John chapter 14. Here is where we want to be careful. Not only us, but especially those who have various different types of belief. John chapter 14. When we get there, let's take a look at verse number 16 and verse number 17. John chapter 14, verse number 16 and verse number 17. We already looked at the very fact that Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But look at what Jesus says. "I will pray to the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever." Here's where you have that confirmation that the Lord God is going to give you a piece of him. Now, how much more should the Holy Spirit be treasured and not be abused? You ever give a gift to someone to see it not being used or be abused or be broken? And you're like, man, I really shouldn't have given them that gift. Maybe I should have gave them this gift, right? Well, we may feel like that. We may not. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But we ought to understand that we don't want to misuse and abuse the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God that was given to us serves a purpose. He is designed to keep us in the way of the Lord. He is designed to lead us in the way of the Lord. He is designed to draw us to the Lord. You know why? Because that Spirit wants to be back with the Lord. And if we follow that Spirit who was led by God, then we will find ourselves reaching our ultimate goal, and that is to be in the presence of Almighty Father for an eternity. Jesus has our backs. He says, I will pray to the Father that he will give you a comforter. And we know that he's talking to his disciples at that point because he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go be crucified. But we know that that same principle is applicable to those of us who disciple ourselves after Christ Jesus today, that he will give us that comforter and fulfill and give us the promises that come along with that as well. All right. So the world, we need to understand that the world cannot receive that which the Lord gives over to those who obey him. Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Brother Frank, when you get there at Romans chapter 8, please begin reading at verse number 1 of Romans chapter 8.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Now watch this. When we look at that in King James, in verse number 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we heed to that Spirit, when we walk after that Spirit, when we're in the Spirit, when we have his Spirit, and that Spirit's desire is to, that Spirit's desire is to be in the presence of the Father, and we'll find ourselves being obedient. But when we go against the Spirit, when we fight against the Spirit, when we turn away or reject the Spirit, remember what happened to Saul when the Lord took his Spirit from Saul and gave him an evil spirit. Everything began to fall apart. Remember, several months ago, we went over a lesson and we talked about when the source of strength is removed, everything around you and among you begins to crumble and fall apart. But if that source of the strength remains with you, which is his Spirit, then the Lord God can continue to use you as his vessel. He can continue to be blessed by the works of your hands. And he can continue to bless you for your obedience. All right? Continue on, Brother Frank, please.
Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Okay.
For to be carnally minded is death.
But to be spiritually minded
is life and
peace. Life and peace. All right, go ahead.
Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be.
All right.
So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
All right, so in order to please God, we have to have his Spirit. Remember, the Bible in John chapter 4 tells us that the Lord God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, but in spirit. So his Spirit is very crucial to our salvation, and the only way to get his Spirit is through baptism. Once again, I go back to Bible class. How can one now say that baptism is not essential? It's not important. It's not crucial to salvation. Here, I'll do you one further. Let me help you. Keep reading.
verse 8.
Uh-huh.
So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Uh-huh.
Verse 9. But you who are not in the flesh, uh-huh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Okay.
Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ,
you are none of his. So, if you sit in this building this morning and you believe and have the mindset that baptism is not important, I don't need to be baptized, please understand, without baptism, you can't receive his Spirit. Without his Spirit, you can't be with him because you are none of his. That's Bible. That's Bible. That's 1 + 1 = 2. Now, you know, if you believe that you can do it, you believe that you can make it to him for eternity without his Spirit, good luck at the gates. Go take your chances. But I was sitting here this morning to let you know that you need to have his Spirit in order to please him and in order for the Spirit to go where it desires to be. In the flesh, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it be so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit specifically of Christ, that's what it says, that's Bible, right? Then he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. All right? So please understand, the world cannot receive his Spirit. And if we don't receive his Spirit by obedience through baptism, then we don't have his Spirit. So it is very important that if your desire is to be with the Heavenly Father, align your heart accordingly and your actions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, that's where we read, and the Bible teaches us and tells us that where we set our treasure, that's where our heart will be. If we want to be in heaven, set your treasure there. Make sure the actions follow suit, and the actions require you to be baptized in order to receive his Spirit, in order that the Spirit can have his desire, and that is to be home. All right, so let's make sure we keep that in the equation. The soul's desire is to follow Christ. But in order for that to happen, let's look at a couple of things that need to take place. Flip your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You guys aren't familiar, you're already familiar with these various texts, but we just want to take a look at them just to drive home the point. 1 Peter chapter 2. In the first verse, it says, wherefore, putting these various things aside, it says, lay aside malice, lay aside guile, put away hypocrisies, put away envies, and all evil speakings. But it tells you what the desire. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because it's going to make your spirit grow. Desire it. That's what the Spirit desires. A baby desires to be fed, right? And the nutrients that that baby is going to receive is going to come from the milk that that baby is fed in order for that baby to grow and grow healthy and be strong, right? But let me ask you a question. We understand that the body changes and that we become lactose intolerant along the way, and there's certain types of milk that we may drink or may not drink any, or, you know, partake of anymore as, you know, adults and older adults and so forth. But for the most part, at what point in time do we stop feeding that baby milk? That baby needs what the baby needs in order for it to be sustained in its given time. See, right now, we can all probably stop drinking milk and be just fine. Would you not agree? We probably can all just say, I'm done with milk from a physical standpoint, and I'll be okay. Why? Because the Bible also teaches us to move past milk to strong meat. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. That is crucial for your spirit. Why? Because that's what the Spirit desires. You can't put a roaring lion in a cage and give that roaring lion some ground beef, and the roaring lion just going to be happy. Right? Because the natural instincts of that lion is to desire, you know, fresh meat from its prey. Right? Not processed meat seasoned with that good old salt and pepper and every other kind of season we put on it. I mean, that lion may partake of it, but for the most part, it goes against nature. So think about that. The natural order for that spirit is to be with God. So give the spirit what it needs. Desire the milk of the word in order that you may grow from it. When does that stop? Think about that. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 5. And let's look at the flip side of that. Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm going to show you something because this is all very essential to how things were even back in the Old Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 5, Brother Frankie, once you get there, just read verses 12, 13, and 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. 12, 13, and 14.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God.
Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But at this given time, to whom he was speaking to, it was. He was telling them, there's some growing you need to do. We shouldn't be having to reteach you the first principles. However, it's a good reminder. It's a great foundation. Don't forget the foundation. Don't lose track of the foundation. But what needs to happen, Brother Frank? Continue. What does the Bible say?
It says, and you have come to need milk and not solid food.
Uh-huh.
For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word.
So if you stay on milk, so right now, if you don't eat anything else but only partake of milk, your body is going to begin to decay. Because there are other things that are designed to sustain your physical bodies as you get older, as you get stronger, right? But if you stay on milk, if you do nothing but milk, your body's going to start falling apart. Watch this. What does it say?
For he is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Keep going.
But solid food belongs to those who are full age.
Meat.
That is those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to both discern both good and evil.
Now look at that. The soul's desire is to be fed. Start with milk. And move to strong meat as you continue to progress and to begin to be more skillful with God's word. But let's liken this unto the children of Israel. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Watch this. When I saw this scriptural text, I said, man, that's very interesting. When you look at the principles of the children of Israel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse number 1, here's what it says. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And look at this. Look at 3 and 4. You got to see that. It's right before you. It says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Right? Look at that. Then it says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. The spirit's desire is to be fed. We have to feed the spirit. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Right? In order that you may grow thereby. So when we desire what the spirit desires, then we can find that spiritual growth. And as we continue to grow spiritually, then we begin to get introduced to the meat that will sustain the bones of that physical body, but more so from a spiritual mindset. But for the children of Israel, they ate the same spiritual meat. They drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Don't miss that. We talked about listening to Christ in Bible class, right? Jesus is that rock. He fed them. He gave them what they needed in order to sustain. We have to realize and understand that the Lord God is not going to give us a piece of him, then not give us what that piece of him needs to be sustained. He is going to give us all we need for life and godliness. So he's going to give you his spirit. After you're baptized for the remission of your sins. Then he's going to give you the milk to allow that spirit to begin to grow. And then he's going to start giving you that meat in order that that spirit can be sustained. But when that spirit is tried, let's take a look at that. Flip your Bibles over to James chapter 1. Last couple of verses, and I'm going to turn the lesson over to you. James chapter 1. Brother Bruno, when you get there, if you can read verse number 12 of James chapter 1.
Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Look at that. It says, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, when he is proven. When you go back, way back to David and Saul, before David went out to battle against Goliath, David comes with the little bit that he has. And Saul says, you can't go out there like that. You need some armor. Put on this armor, right? And David says, well, man, it looks good, but I haven't proven this armor. This armor hasn't been tried with me. This doesn't fit me. This doesn't work. But what the Lord has tried me with is with this slingshot. And I got that down pat. And he went out there, and you guys know the story. He went out there and introduced Goliath to death. Right? But think about that. It says, for those that have been tried, there is a promise that is coming to that spirit. All right? And in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, I'll read that really quick. It says, for none of those things which thou shalt suffer, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The soul's desire is to rest after it has been constantly tried. It is designed to be tried, and it is designed to succeed beyond trial. Why? Because Jesus did it. And if Jesus did it, he gave us a way for it to be done. Then he gave us a comfort. He gave us a piece of him. And he's given us the ability through him to do the exact same thing. To be tried, to overcome death, to receive a crown of life, to be in the presence of Almighty for an eternity. So here's what you need to do in order for that to happen. Just as we talked about in Bible class, first thing you need to do is hear ye him. Hear Jesus. Hear what Jesus has said for you to do in order to receive that spirit. And he says many things. One of those things he says for us to do is to believe him. Right? Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? From eternal condemnation. From eternal separation from God. Because you know the Bible talks about the great separation. There are going to be some on the left. There's going to be some on the right. There's going to be some that's going to be bound up and cast away. And some that's going to go with him in the cloud. Right? The Bible teaches us that. It says, hear him. To believe him. Jesus says to confess his name. Right? Teaches us to confess his name in actions, in words, in deed. He also teaches us to repent of our sins. Right? What shall we do to have eternal life? Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. You've already heard me quote two different verses, and you've already heard me present it before you. He also teaches us and tells us, and has set the example of being baptized. Baptism is crucial and essential for salvation. And you've already read the verse in Romans chapter 8 that says, if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of his. I don't recommend you try that route. But if it's up to you, if that's what you want to do, best of luck at the gate. But those of you who want to be with him and know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John chapter 14, verse 6, then do it his way. And he says, be baptized. Then he also says, as we just read in Revelation, be thou faithful unto death, because you have been tried. Be faithful, and you will receive a crown of life. And I also showed you earlier in Bible class that you're going to get to partake of a tree that those in the very beginning didn't even get to partake of. All right? If that be a desire, if there are any that are with us this morning who are not baptized, we can get this baptism pool ready. And we can make sure that you leave, before you leave, that you give your life over to Christ, that you give your soul over to Christ, and that you put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. If that's your desire, let us all stand, and we'll sing the Savior's